In mathematics, we have this commutative rules, which says that a plus b equals b plus a. So if we do the same thing here, just as an analogy, then if code is law, then we can also say that law is code. So we can take the analogy in the other side. So, and if we do that, which means then we can look at the lawmaking process from a computer science perspective or a hacking perspective, and try to use that as a metaphor to understand the processes. So we can see reverse engineering as it's a way to uncover hidden structures and understand how things work. So we can do that in trying to understand the political process and how different laws interact and things like that. So that thinking can be applied here. We can see things like hacking and patching and finding weaknesses and exploits. Of course, you can see those kind of things also in this kind of political process, in a parliamentary thing, where you try to, and also broader in the legal system, where companies or individuals try to find loopholes in the legal system and exploit them. Or it could also be that you try to find problems with the current legal system, with the ambition to try to fix these things. So it could be either way, but still the metaphor can be applied. And debugging, for instance, so you can identify visual problems at execution phase rather than planning phase. So you could do this to some extent also in society. So you can argue that you could use this as a metaphor for the political and the democratic system and the lawmaking process. But then again, if we move beyond the metaphor, then we can actually try to think in these kind of terms, and we can actually construct software that are aligned with this kind of thinking. And if we do that, then we might end up with tools like Steph's default track and the Bigby stuff. Because these kind of tools rest upon this kind of thinking, that you can actually take the laws and you can try to reverse engineer them and find things, and you can hack them and you can patch them and in order to improve the system, the overall system in some way. In a similar way, the kind of a hacking approach to understanding the legal process. So if we just try to be a bit bold here and move beyond what has already been implemented. So if we take this kind of thinking and scale it up, really, then we could imagine that we build a computer system that builds a huge, indexes a huge database of openly available sources of legal and politically oriented texts. So it could be, of course, all the EU databases of various sorts, national databases, not only from the EU, but from all over the world, international organizations like the UN, the OECD, the IMF, whatever, but also other organizations like lobby groups or think tanks or newspaper archives, etc. So you could imagine that we would take all this freely available data and index it, so it would be tons of terabytes of data, but in principle it could be possible to do that. And then apply techniques from computational linguistics, so to try to search and understand and index this data. So do this, I mean, you're all familiar with how you search data for simple words. I mean, in your word processor or how you do search for a few keywords using Google. But you can index things in much more complex ways than that. So rather than just searching for words and looking for word matches, there are quite complex approaches and algorithms within computational linguistics that can be applied to these kind of processes. So there is, for instance, this idea called latent semantic analysis, which can uncover hidden meaning in documents So it's a statistical distribution model that requires no, it's fully automatic, so it's no manual work at all. And what it can do is that if you index a vast amount of documents or text, then you can find documents and cluster them if they share, they are about the same thing, they share the same subject, even though they use different wordings, and even though they are in different languages, as long as there is something that crosses that barrier, if there is a bilingual document. So this means that you can, when you search for a term, rather than just searching for a term, you input an entire document of 10,000 words as a query, and then you get answers to get similar documents from all over the world that are similar in some sense, even though they might be written in a different language, or they might be written using synonyms, but not the same words. But you can still get them as a response. Another thing to deal with is algorithmic complexity and scalability. So different algorithms for doing this have different costs in terms of computational power and memory consumption in the computer. So if you do comparisons for, say, a few thousand documents, then it doesn't really matter so much which algorithm you use. But if you do comparisons of documents that are or hundreds of millions or hundreds of trillions of documents, and then you do cross comparisons of all of them, if you have an algorithm that's when the computing power and the memory constraints rises exponentially, you will soon run out of it, even though you use all the computing power in the whole world, it's not possible. So you have to consider scaling and complexity when you try to do these kind of approaches. So in order to do this, you must find algorithms that are suitable for the task, but they are also efficient and scalable and incremental. But luckily, there are actually candidates that satisfies these requirements. So this is possible to do if you carefully select which algorithms you apply. So what can we do with something like this? What is it good for? Well, for instance, you can do things like look backwards. If we have timestamp documents, then we can do a historical analysis and see when did certain words start becoming popular. So say global warming or some other catchphrase that we know. Then we can trace it backwards and see where, in which parts of the world or which political context or so did it start to happen. And we can plot the graph. So it started slowly to gain interest, maybe in the 70s. And then at some point it started to rise in certain sectors, like the green groups of the world, environmentalists and so on, and then it spread to others. You can actually plot these things. But you can do that beyond just mere words or concepts. You can actually do these with more complex things. And this is the point that you don't only just do word matching, but you can do matching of